Professor Sai Baba, thanks for joining me. Thanks for being my guest.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And I'm very happy to be back with you.
Certainly. It's always a pleasure to have you back on our show. So, Professor Sai Baba, what can you briefly tell us about your mother, her life and her personality, and how much she influenced you?
My mother was an ordinary village woman. She did not study, an illiterate woman, and but she had a lot of common sense, and then wisdom among the people, by living among the people, and also in a hard life. You know, one thing that we know is any woman who has a struggling life, it's poverty, and also as a being a woman, would learn a lot. And then I was the first child to her, and right. She was shattered when the polio affected me.
Right,
then she went around from hospital to hospital to get my polio affected legs to make them functional, and she never gave up on that. Even when I was grown up also. Then meanwhile, you know, like she was very, very much worried about me. And in my childhood, in the formative years, before I reached 10, she wanted to show me the world outside. Though she never moved out of her own village, she had this idea, we could not understand, that her child should know the world very well. So she used to push my father and my uncles, that is her brothers, to take me anywhere. You know, like the first instance I remember still is that, no, my child has to see the sea, how the sea looks like, and how this, you know, she pushed my father to take me into the sea. I mean, I was born on the Bay of Bengal coast, the village, the tiny village where I was born, was about 10 kilometers away from the sea. So because of my physical condition, I was never taken to the sea to see it. So she used to say, you know, like my child should see the sea. Wow. And used to push my father to take me to the sea and see. And then after that, my child should see the river. That is the, on both sides of our delta, the river Godavari was there. And on the third side, the fourth side, what you call, it's a waterlocked land. And was the sea. The one side is sea and two sides Godavari, right. The river Godavari. And my father has to take me to Godavari and show me and spend a day there and all that.
Right.
And apart from that, you know, like my mother used to say that, no, you have to carry the child and go and show different performances, you know, art performances, dance performances, and the drama performances that traditionally performed in the village, outside the village, and all that.
Right, right.
And it went on like that, you know, like went on and on. So she was responsible for my education as well.
Right.
Yes, and she was the one who took me to the school and admitted in a government school. My father never bothered about it. And then when I did very well and completed the primary school, she took me to a Christian missionary school. And she talked to the father there and got me admitted there. And that Christian school, in fact, played a very, very important role in my life. And it was a very liberal school where the education was really wonderful, and the teachers were well trained. All of them were Christian by practice, and then they gave a really scientific education. Religion was never in school.
Right.
That was the kind of school that was. So it was my mother who took me to that school, and she identified that school as the best school,
right,
though she was never been to a school herself. That is the kind of mother, right, yes.
No, that's an amazing story. That's an amazing story. But I really want to know from you, Professor Sai Baba, under what circumstances she passed away, and how painful it was for you for not being able to see her for the last time.
Yes, after my arrest, she participated in protests for my release.
Right.
So many places from my birthplace to Delhi, she went around and participated in the protests. And she wanted to meet all the authorities. And she used to ask professors, civil rights organizers and all that to take her to all authorities. And she wanted to question what wrong my son has done. What is the crime my son committed?
Right.
So why are you, keeping him behind the bars and all that? It was a great struggle. And then during the COVID period, that is when lockdown was announced, it was found that, my mother was suffering from lymphatic cancer.
Right.
And within months, her condition worsened. After a long time, I could talk to her on phone because the Supreme Court ordered that all prisons in India should provide phone call facilities to the prisoners to talk to their family and families and lawyers, because all prison mulaqats were cancelled and no letters were allowed, nothing was allowed during that period. It was a really dark, dark period where you could not even hear about this about the condition of your family members.
Right.
That was the kind of dark period, and because of that Supreme Court order and High Court orders, the 5-minute phone call was allowed, and that was the last time I could talk to my mother.
Right.
And that was the first call and the last call to my mother. And she was asking, when will you come back? And these people found that I am suffering from cancer. I may not survive for long, and you have to come out. I cannot survive without you. You should be with me. And then I may even defeat this cancer if you come. Those are the last words. And after that, my brother and Vasanta informed me that she was recovering. But there was no phone call again. And meanwhile, she recovered briefly, but she got worse, and her condition was worsened within days. She was hospitalized, but the hospital was, beds were not free because of the COVID patients.
Right.
But at the same time, the doctors were not free to treat her. But my brother and his wife managed to get her the treatment. And my brother, my Vasanta was in Delhi. She could not move to Hyderabad. My brother's wife was infected because she works in a nursing college as a teacher, and she was serving the COVID patients, and she got contracted COVID. And then my brother got contracted COVID, and then my mother was in the hospital. They were not allowed. My mother was not affected by COVID. But that was a difficult situation where I came to know about all these things later. But suddenly one day the call came that she's in a final condition and you have to come and see her. And my brother moved to High Court. I moved the prison authorities. Mm. They gave a reply saying that it's not safe for you to go out now. And so we are dissolving your obligation. Mm. So as a result of it, I could not meet my mother. And she was asking for me all the time. And, later I got a call saying that she was no more on the same day. But the prison authorities refused to give an extended call. It was only 2 minutes, and then we got this only information. Hmm. My brother and my sister-in-law insisted that at least a video call should be allowed to see her body. It was not allowed while she was still in the hospital, and after she passed away, it was not allowed. Right. And then we immediately moved through email and this thing to the High Court and authorities that I should be sent before the funeral rites were conducted. Mm-hmm. That was rejected again the second time.
Right.
It was rejected, saying that it was for my safety that they were not sending, and I was kept in under cell. It was very safe, so I would not contract the virus.
Right.
But after that, even then, amidst this grim situation of COVID, where hundreds and thousands of people came and conducted her funeral in Hyderabad.
Right.
They defied all the lockdown conditions, and they did it. And after that, my family tried to show her last minutes and all that through video, but that was not also allowed.
Right. Right.
Then we applied for post-funeral rites. Again, authorities rejected, and again we went to the court. The court said that wait for another few months.
Right.
Let the funeral post-funeral rites be awaited.
Mm.
And we had no option. We waited for another few months, and then when lockdown was lifted, conditions became normal. Then we again went to the authorities. They rejected without assigning any reasons. And we went to the High Court. High Court also rejected, now without any reasons. So in that way, we went again and again to the court and authorities. They rejected. Even say all, the most notorious people, gangsters and all, they get this chance of if a family member, a mother or someone is not well or diseased, they allow this.
Right.
It was very, very surprising to my family and my myself how the authorities and even the constitutional courts rejected this.
Right.
And since then, the post-funeral rites, according to my family tradition and the family elders' traditions that they believe, were postponed forever and ever for the last 4 years, because it was the eldest son who had to conduct all those.
Definitely.
Now, after my release, all the relatives gathered and called me, and now it is being done after 4 years of her death.
Right. Definitely. Now tell me, Prophet Sai Baba, how important was this memorial service in terms of bringing some closure?
Yes, it's very, very important in any tradition, including a progressive tradition also.
Right.
It is, you know, to respect the person who with whom you have lived and who has given you birth or lived together, and recall the relationships and pay homage to a person who has moved away is very, very important. Particularly in my mother's case, not only my family from both sides, my mother's side and my father's side, were awaiting this, this is a memorial service. They were waiting for this because, you know, whatever she did in her life, from village to the city, she traveled with rich kind of contributions.
Mm.
It's very interesting, particularly because she moved from a kind of a superstitious village feudal life with so many restrictions on women to a kind of open-minded society, democratic thinking society, where she could understand the societal problems and support the youngsters, the larger society, to see how the society could progress. And she participated at various levels, and leaving one after the other of the orthodox traditional thinking. So she got the attention of several generations of people in Hyderabad and even Delhi. Though she did not know the language when she was with us in Delhi, she was a great communicator. She used to communicate with the people, even with gestures and things like that. And of course, Hyderabad, where she participated in progressive organizations and people with concerns of the oppressed, and she participated, she spoke, and she contributed to so many things. So I mean, it's like the family traditional people who wanted to have a closure to her life in a positive sense. And all the progressive activists, organizations, women's organizations, student organizations, and those people who seek for justice, against caste oppression, all people awaited this kind of a memorial service, right, where they wanted to share their opinions and learn from her life. Things like that. I mean, so it has become very important for everyone, including myself and my family members,
right,
that we have been feeling, you know, a burden and a kind of, you know,
right,
heart with, not at all happy that we could not pay homage to my mother and all that.
Absolutely.
Then now, after this service is being conducted, we all feel free.
Definitely. Now, since you have been acquitted, what the Indian establishment needs to do to right this wrong?
Unfortunately, in Indian law or in Indian constitution, there is no clause, or there is no sense of compensation or recuperation or reformation from what has been wronged by the state machinery.
Right.
right. to a individual or even to a community. Unlike many other countries, if the state mechanism or a hand of a state is responsible for committing a wrong against an individual citizen, there are provisions, you know, to compensate. Though, in my case, nobody will be able to compensate 10 years of life.
Mm.
But at the same time, some relief would have been possible, at least, but, you know, such provisions are not available in law or in the constitution. So there is no way the state is now completely silent on this part of the law, and there has been no attempt in the past also to, you know, to make available any law to seek justice for those who are wronged by the state.
Well, Brother Sai Baba, thank you so much for your time, and please accept our condolences once again. It's good that you could hold this memorial service, which was long overdue, and unfortunately nobody can bring your mother back, neither nobody can return those 10 years of yours, which were wasted. But if there is anything you would like to add before I let you go, please go ahead.
I would like to say only one thing. That I suffered, my family experienced through traumatic experience in the last 10 years.
Right.
And my mother saw the worst of the days, the dark days before her death.
Right.
And, you know, like the only thing that I could say now is that I thank all the audience who used to hear me and who will hear now my voice, and who will share my grief for my mother, and all those days of grief for millions of people who suffered during the COVID period. I was have gone through this inside the prison when the COVID period was the kind of dark times, and many families who had gone through the grief, and they'll all understand. And I am thankful, I will be thankful, and I am thankful to the audience who are sharing my grief. And I was sharing the grief of all those families silently in my prison cell during those days, and today I have the voice to talk to all of you and share my grief. Thanks a lot for this. It is a great relief.
Definitely. Take care, Brother Sai
Baba. Thank you very much.
Talk to you again. Bye for now.